And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 104. 104. I'm Saz Lindenstein, your host today, and this is a special episode. This is one of our one-on-one interviews. It's me with my guest, Kevin Williams. Kevin, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
It is my pleasure to do anything right now.
Yeah.
If you wanted me to come over and just paint your house, I'd be happy to do it.
I kind of need that. We've talked about that on the show. That might be a prize for a listener.
To come over and paint your house.
Yeah.
Do they have to wear a respirator while doing it? I mean, that's a good idea for painting anyway.
I'll be inside, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, Kevin came on. Kevin is an actor. I guess we'll call him an actor.
Why not?
He's currently hosting the live stream, where he covers, it used to be Trump before Trump started hiding, and now just covering, press conferences, whatever it is that the Trump administration is lying about, right? You swing on, you turn it on. What do you turn on? I watch you on Facebook, but you're watching, you have a bunch of different sources that I can watch this, right?
Yeah. If you go to Kevin Lee, or let's see, Twitter is Kevin Lee, at Kevin Lee Father. If you go to youtube.com/Kevin Lee Father, that's the best way to watch it because it's got the lowest latency for all you tech nerds out there. But I take whatever the press conference is or the Senate hearings or SCOTUS, the Supreme Court was doing an argument about Trump's taxes today. And I broadcast those and I comment on them and I fact check them in real time. And then we've got a bunch of people in the chat room as well. And the whole point is to bring you the news, but also sort of make it tolerable, because what we're sitting there thinking to ourselves, there's other people out there thinking the same thing. So while I'm doing the commentary and doing the fact checking, the chat room is really having sort of a conversation of their own with each other. So I'm making friends, but they're not being friends with me. They're making friends with each other. So I feel like I'm doing something good.
It is good. It's very entertaining. It got me to watch a few more press conferences than I could handle at any point. So, and I was like, you know what? I think I can get, now that we're quarantined and I can mute Kevin at any point, it's a good time to have him on the show. I think, you know, like, it's not free range. If I brought you in the studio, who knows what would have happened? Just would have been a ruckus. I didn't mute him. He's playing a character.
I assumed I was muted. Okay. All right. So I can talk.
Yeah. Kevin, yeah. He is, and so we had a good time. We talked some politics, talked about Trump. I couldn't get away from it. If you are a fan of Kevin's, I guess he has fans.
He's a fan. I have a wonderful group of supporters. I have supporters. Patrons. I have supporters.
Yeah.
I have followers on Twitter. Yeah. I see, my daughter yells at me if I call them fans. They're really? Followers. And I follow a lot of them too.
Why?
I wish
What's
I could follow everybody.
Fans?
I don't know. She feels weird, like if somebody recognizes me or tell.
Why does followers sound less entitled than fans?
Because it's in their world, when you're, you know, a teenager or whatever, that you can have followers, you have subscribers or subs. You have whatever you have on your chat snap.
Oh, you a subscribe? You one of my subscribers?
No, you call them subs.
You one of my subs?
Exactly. Saying subscriber is so lame, right? So
I'm so lame.
You have your subs, but I don't know why. There's nothing in that world in social media where there's fans that I know of there. So it's followers is okay because you're also following other people. So
yeah.
Okay. If I say that I have fans, then it's like, oh dad, you know, suddenly I'm ridiculous.
Followers just sound so arrogant to me.
Yeah.
I think I'm Jesus. Oh well.
But she's, we talked a little bit about what she thinks of me. So we'll get back to my daughter later in the episode.
And then, we actually, so anyway, if you are a follower of Kevin's, you get to hear his origin story of sorts. And
my oranges story. I'm so hungry right now.
His origin story.
What is it? What's the oranges of that?
What's the origin of Kevin? How did he get here? What did he do? And it was a good time. So enjoy the episode.
You really sell this. Can I tell you what you sound? Being a voiceover artist as I am, can I do an impersonation of you selling this show right now? This is your marketing. So we had a good time.
Don't mess with my art, man. This is my art. This is how I do it. They know it's casual.
This is my Garfunkel.
They know I'm about to bring the heat in this episode.
I only have eyes.
Oh, yeah. Just keep doing that. Hey, if you're,
I guess most people probably don't know that Garfunkel sang that.
If you enjoyed this episode or any of the past episodes, please go to iTunes and please leave a review. Rate it 5 stars, ideally. And that helps us with the ratings.
Become a patron.
Become
a Patreon
patron.
Page?
Yes, I was about to get to that.
Sometimes you undersell things.
Besides going,
we had a good time. It was pretty good.
If you liked review us on iTunes, share the episode. If you're a big, big fan, you can go to patreon.com/black and a half and become one of our subscribers, like our founding member, Stefan Ward. He's out there listening.
Woo!
And
shout out to Stefan.
Well, yeah. And one day I'm going to learn how to make a withdrawal from my Patreon so I can actually.
I'm at that point, too.
I need to figure it out. I don't know what
to do. Or if you're interested in finding out how Patreon works, go to KevinLeeFather.com.
you can become a supporter of Kevin Lee Father here.
You can become my supporter.
Yeah.
And you'll see. We kind of talk about it in this episode because we recorded this after the episode is done. We talked about how I basically give my heart and soul every moment of my existence to my patrons.
Yeah.
So that's what you get with me.
Pretty much.
With Silas, I mean, he's going to get around to it someday, drawing the money out. So it's kind of a sideline for. But yeah. with me, my patrons are my passion.
We
had a good time.
I was going to have a giant listener party. I had it all planned. It was going to be in May. It was going to be this huge blowout. And, you know, COVID happened. But it was going to be.
Oh, that is a bummer.
It was going to be a surprise. It was going to be like I was going to rent Tacoma Dome out. But. Who knows? Maybe
I had a VIP tent set up at a winery. Yeah. This was going to happen. It's coming up next week now.
Yeah.
And of course, we had to shut all that down. I had everybody booked on the airlines. I still have the airline tickets, hoping that someone's going to say yes. But I don't want to put anyone's life in danger.
What are we? Kevin's a hero. He's an essential. He's almost an essential worker level hero.
Here's the thing.
But not quite.
That word is so overly used. In this society, especially right now, that I think
they even call them sandwiches.
So happy that you used it correctly.
It is that kind of witty banter you will get today.
They, people are going to tune off right now. They're going to think that I'm complete jerkhole.
Well, they'd be right.
We're smiling right now, kids. Yeah. I know Silas. Silas is a good friend of mine. Aren't you, Samuel?
Sure. So here we are. Listen up, download and subscribe. Black and a half.
We had a good time.
Black and a half, episode number 104.
Pump it. Sell this baby. Episode number 104.
I forgot that I can just tune you out and just do it on the track. Episode 104.
Do that right now. 104. Four.
Kevin Williams.
Kevin Williams coming to you live in stereo. Whoa.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive. Live long. And prosper.
I was late because
you broke your hand?
I don't know what I did. I fell a few weeks ago.
We're all lonely right now, and we have to do what we have to do.
Yeah, I fell. I went face first into the yard waste.
That's hand first.
Collapse. Yeah. Well,
you went face first, but you hurt your hand.
And I had my hand on the cart, you know, mm-hmm. You wheel them out, and it just like I landed right. My thumb went under, and it was swollen for a while. And then today, I think I was putting together a Disney Cars twin bed for my son. And I think something in there with the repetitive screwing motion did something. And then tonight I was trying to cook and suddenly I just couldn't cut anything anymore. It hurt too bad.
Well, then don't.
Yeah. So I stopped.
Did you cross I-90?
Today?
Well, recently, the last few days, since before your hand started hurting.
I did.
You know, when you're on I-90 and you go, I don't know if it's open again, but they have that tunnel that you have to be a carpool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if you've gone through the, or Mercer Island, if you went under the Mercer Island lid, it's possible you ended up with carpool tunnel syndrome.
Oh, that's, wow.
All right. I'll sign off.
Wow.
Thanks for having me. Jeez. Really been a pleasure. Do we record the beginning now?
Oh, I've been recording.
But we go back and we do the intro, wow, yeah. Right?
I've been curious what you're doing right now.
Are we doing the show? Is this part of the show?
Yes. I told you. Just start talking. We're there.
I can't say the N-word.
Well, they won't know what you look like, I guess.
Can we talk about the N-word? Because I don't know that I've ever actually said the N-word.
Well, good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know.
Huh? Do you feel like you've missed out?
I mean, I may have said it like in a rap song.
Yeah.
At some point. I don't feel like I'm missing out on a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah. Oh, and there's nothing, and you're missing out on everything right now.
Yeah, I do feel like I can't go play hockey. I can't go I joined a tennis team. I said, hey, tennis is cheap. It's like $30 for the whole season. Hockey's expensive. Okay. Hockey's like $30-$40 a game.
You can't play tennis now?
No, of course you can't play tennis. Why you're not? Touching the ball because you're passing a virus back and forth.
Oh, the ball. Yeah, I guess you technically, maybe.
Yeah, so there's a tennis court.
You're not supposed to touch it with your hands, though. You're not doing a very good job.
Oh, you... you do have to, like when you serve, hold it in your left hand and you throw it up in the air.
Yeah.
And then you hit it.
So then with you use the another ball. Stick. Use another ball. Just get another ball.
Every time?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because tennis, I'm a millionaire. Tennis balls are expensive.
If you each use different colors of balls, then you know not to touch the other one.
So I hit my ball to them, and then they hit a different ball back at me?
No, but you hit the ball. They're hitting it with their racket. It's not coming into contact with you.
All right. Anyway, I paid $30 for the season.
Okay.
I played one game, and they canceled.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been another game. So I basically paid $30 for the entire season for one game.
I'm guessing it's...
So same price as hockey.
They're going to credit you for the next season. When it starts,
I don't even know if I'm going to live there anymore. I'm moving out. I'm leaving L.A.
I just heard L.A. You're in L.A. now. I heard the stay just got extended.
I'm in Seattle right
you
now.
You are?
Yes, I came up to Seattle because my family's up here to ride this thing out.
I know you talked about that, but I didn't think you did because I saw the you were doing a show on TV, not on TV, but streaming. I just figured that was in L.A. still.
No, I'm in Seattle right now.
Oh. Well, we haven't gotten together.
Well, you want to come over? I'll just drop by the house and we'll do a podcast. I'm in your garage right now, dude.
I've
been knocking for an hour. Oh, wait, you moved away from this house. Who lives here now?
Yeah, who knows?
Someone's been yelling at me.
Well, I was telling my wife I was impressed by you.
What?
Surprisingly. Yeah. I was like, you know what? No, because here's the thing. I
want to know why you think it's okay to lie to your wife. She's going to find out. You're living together.
No, I'm serious because I have a lot of comics, a lot of actors, friends on my feed. And most I hear about is like how they can't do anything and they're whining, right? And I feel like you doing the live stream show or live, what do you call it now?
The lie stream.
Lie stream.
Yeah.
Like you're taking it out. Like this sucks. This whole thing sucks. Absolutely. For everybody. But you're producing, you found a way to produce some content daily.
Yep.
And
the content's out there. I'm really just commenting on the content.
Facilitating it. But then, and you have your like, hey, if you like this show, you can sponsor an episode. You know, it's like, it's a little hustle game to like, okay, I gotta get some money. So
yeah,
here's a way.
I do.
Like, look, I'm an actor and I can just put me in anything. I can do that. And I don't feel like most people I know have that sort of tenacity they're in the entertainment business. Cause I've said like, I mean, your hustle, I mean, I know you have the Canadian advantage, so you have more work that you can do up here on a regular basis. Anyway,
that's why I left. Yeah. All the good parts are down there. They cast them out down there to bring you up here. They fly you up here.
That's hilarious.
I can't tell you the number of times I was up for things in Canada, in Vancouver. And they're like, oh man, they loved you, but they had to go with somebody out of the States. It's like, but I am an American.
I'm in the States. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a bi-citizen. Dual citizen. Different show. I thought I was on a different podcast, right?
Yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. And
I do listen to your show occasionally.
Okay.
I pop on there. Well, I do like the commentary of, well, you were the only reason I kept listening to the press conferences because I just couldn't take it anymore. And then you started commenting, I was like, it did feel like I had somebody there besides my 4-year-old who would just yell, who would just say, it's the orange man. Mommy doesn't like him. Like that's
the
all
orange man.
Yeah. She called him the
Trump.
Man.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me because of all my pigments in my skin.
No, I was watching occasionally and then I just couldn't. But then when you were live streaming, I was like, okay, I'll hear what Kevin has to say. And I do like the kind of instant fact checking or, like you would say things that I was thinking like, no, you did not do that. That wasn't true.
There's a certain amount of catharsis to it because it is frustrating to sit there and watch these lie after. Now I'm independent. I'm not a Democrat. I didn't vote for Hillary. I've never voted for Clinton. I would never vote for Trump. I just can't stand hypocrisy and lies. And this administration is just one after the other of verifiable facts and telling lies that you don't have to lie about. Like, yes, we're now doing the most testing. That is absolutely true. But we're not doing more testing than all the other countries combined. We're not doing a third of the testing of all the other countries. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Why? Why say that?
Why say we have the best testing?
Like, yeah, what?
Exactly. What's that even mean?
We don't. We have far from the best.
Our percentage is horrible. Like, it's just the absolute, like, literally, it's not even opinion things that he's like, say, oh, America's the greatest. Okay, that's an opinion, whatever.
Yeah,
but would say, like,
subjective.
He would say, like, you know, the U.S. has koalas are native to the U.S., and that's a fact. And you're like, no.
It's, you know, because it's a marsupial. Mississippi,
he would
marsupial.
Never be able to say marsupial, first
that's
of all.
True.
Let's
they're marsupial. They're serper. They're slurpees. That's where the slurpees come from. And it's very gratifying having done the chat. I didn't know if anyone would actually start watching the live stream.
Yeah.
But I now have, and I've had a Patreon page, which if for your listeners, if they don't know what that is, they must. If they listen to podcasts, if you want to support somebody, you can go to Patreon. You can give them $5 a month. You can give them 10. You can give them 10,000 if you want to. I'll send you a t-shirt. And I've had that page up for a while. I've done a couple of parodies, but I never did anything that was actually real time and engaging so that people can come into the chat window across platforms and... Uh-huh. Is someone interrupting us right now? What? Oh, we got a visitor. More interesting. Hi, buddy.
He's been on. This is like 7 podcasts in a row that he just decides.
This
to
is the only
in.
Reason I agreed to do this. So I was like, I'm sick of talking aside. Who is this?
He can't hear anything. He just comes in and sees like something's on video. And he's like, hey.
I'm waving both hands at him.
Oh, he's trying to.
Can you wave hands? Can you touch your face? Yeah, listen to your cheeks. Touch your cheeks.
I thought he was going to cover his ears like he can't even hear you. And he's like, I know what's being
Why isn't this a vlog? Why not videotape this as well? Are you recording this on video?
The video is recording, I think. Oh, no.
Put it up on the YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know. I have debates about that.
What you said about the lie cast has been echoed by people have become patrons. People are giving me five, 10, 25 bucks a month or whatever. And suddenly now I have this, it's not insignificant of an income stream, considering right now I'm not getting any income.
Yeah.
The whole CARES Act and the unemployment and everything, actors, artists, musicians, we're all kind of getting screwed because
you don't have 1099s. We get income.
Yeah. We're 1099s or we're employment. Some days, like I just shot an episode of Three Busy Debras, I was an employee for a day.
Yeah.
And then the next thing might be a non-union commercial for a butter company. And I might be a 1099 for that. And the number of hours, that's been wiped clean. So we don't have to worry about getting 680 hours in a year or whatever, because we just don't work like that. But you have to choose one or the other. And the system chooses one for you, which means that, let's say I make half my money as an independent contractor and half my money, or let's say I make 10% money as an employee, the system will default to the employee. And now I only get wages based on that 10% I was an employee for one day. And there's apparently thousands of artists, musicians, et cetera, and anybody who works as a private contractor, Uber drivers. Let's say you're an Uber driver part-time, plus you have a regular job. I think you're getting screwed too.
But you get the 600 still.
No, I'm not getting anything yet.
Why aren't you in the 600?
Because the state hasn't figured out what to do with me. And I can't get a hold of anybody. I get it. There's a ton of people out there.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'm going to give it another shot.
Are you through Washington? Are you through Washington?
Now I'm through Washington. Yeah. Moved out to Washington. I applied through California before I moved up here. They just said no. And they weren't going to get the CARES Act stuff going until the 28th of April. And I was already up here. So then I applied through here, but I'm still waiting. And now, what is it, March 12th when we're recording this?
Yeah.
So still nothing, not a penny.
May 12th.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Is time really important right now, Silent?
Not really.
Did you have to correct me on that?
People are like,
what year is it?
People are like, this is an old episode. What is it?
Yeah. They knew stuff. Anyway, so everyone's saying we should lock down and stay at home. We're going to be fine, Silas. This is a hoax. Yes, it's May 12th. That's the way words work in my head. Yeah. They both have M's. I think the acting industry in Los Angeles is going to be shot at home. Like I've actually had a couple of auditions for self-tapes where you tape at home and then they're going to shoot the commercial in your home. So it has to be accorded that way. But there's not going to be any TV shows. There's not going to be, my daughter's been doing a bunch of background work. How are you going to do background work? How are you going to have a crowd when you can't be within 6 feet of each other? And the studios aren't going to open up and have people come in when there's any kind of liability involved. And even if they get the 15-minute test and make you come in at 4:30 in the morning, which is not unusual in the business, somebody might have gotten the virus 3 days ago and start shedding on the set, even though they just had the test. Plus, even the 15-minute test or the 5-minute Abbott test that everyone keeps bragging about has a 15% false negative rate.
Well, that's better, though.
So you bring in 20 extras.
Yeah.
Three of them could be positive and test negative.
I was wondering if they're going to start we got to shoot season two of Picard. The entire cast is quarantined for 2 months before they start shooting.
That would be, they can do that and, buy out a hotel.
Yeah.
And say, okay, you guys stay here. And honestly, I would be willing to do that, but I don't have anyone in my life that likes me. So that's not a big deal.
Right.
But I can understand if you enjoy your family.
Yeah,
you don't want to leave them.
In particular, I was thinking something like Star Trek Picard with Patrick Stewart and how old he is. Like, he can't get it. If he gets it, he's going to die.
Yeah.
Like all these old actors, we got to protect these guys, or the ones with conditions or whatnot.
I saw a video on Twitter of Mandy Patinkin tweeting for the first time. Yeah. And it was hilarious. And I was like, I know that his show on Showtime is done now. And thank God that wrapped up, because I don't want anyone else risking themselves. It's not worth it. What we do is just pretend. It's not worth putting anyone's life at risk.
My daughter and I we're still regulars of watching Survivor. Okay. We watch Survivor. And
is that still on?
Oh, it's still on. Yeah. Like we've been watching forever. But as it was going on, we were like, well, how long is this going to last? Corona and watching. And as it was like, it was a month ago that we're like, this isn't going to end in time because the finale's live on TV.
Right.
And so I'm like, so they're, and I was like, it's going to be a Zoom. They're going to do a Zoom final episode. They have to, because they don't, they don't reveal. So they would have already left the island
before they're back. Hit.
Yeah. They've been back. They're long before it starts.
They'll just Zoom the finale. It'll get huge ratings.
It's just going to be so weird to me how it's going to, like, you know, usually you have this big crowd that cheers, and then so they're going to win, find out that they won while they're sitting just with their family.
All right. That's okay. They, you know, they did the NFL draft and the other stuff on Zoom. They've done the episode.
I watched WrestleMania. WrestleMania was on. No audience.
Where are they?
They're filming in Tampa, Florida.
Florida's letting them do it.
They have a they made an exception that allowed specifically professional wrestling. It allowed entertainment or sports entertainments to still stream. So they can't have they couldn't have an audience, but they were allowed with so many workers to be there. But it is hilarious because they are all like, they're raising their hands to the crowd and doing all the things.
Moves. There's nobody there.
They do. Yeah. They're not even piping in the audience. I thought they would do that, but you're just watching this silent match. I'm like,
all right.
Like, okay. Like, hopefully they'll bring in some live studio once they're allowed, like 20 people or something. I don't know. It's all weird. It's very weird to watch. Like, I look at the current stuff that they're doing on.
It's disconcerting. And I was just talking to someone the other day about the changes in the television shows. Like, for example, the late night comedians without an audience.
Yeah.
Some of them seem very jilted by it. Some of them still seem to. Whereas, like, Seth Meyers just rolls along. He does fine without the audience.
Yeah.
John Oliver, because it's just rapid fire, it works.
Seth Meyers is used to not having an audience. He just imagines. No. He's like, oh, this is my ratings. Okay.
Right now, you literally have the same size audience as Seth Meyers. Yeah, that's true. So how much are you getting paid?
I was saying to somebody, like, we were talking, you know, we have the same.
Can I just mention here that a lot of people are poo-pooing on Florida's effort, and DeSantis is opening up, the Governor DeSantis is opening up things in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you know, I guess he was right, because they just set a record for cases today. So, biggest day in May.
Biggest day in May.
Yeah. They're spiking. So I guess
so.
Letting on WrestleMania had no, I guess opening up the beaches had egg no effect.
Egg on everyone else's face for poo-pooing.
Exactly.
Like, oh yeah, now we're winning, guys. We're winning.
Silas, people got to die eventually.
Let's hurry it along. We have the same right now, like worst Saturday Night Live. We have the same quality of a show as Saturday Night Live and The View, all these national TVs. This is it. It's the same thing.
Yeah. You know what is amazing is that the news channels, if you watch MSNBC or CNN or whatever, they're sitting at home.
Yeah.
Some of them don't even have green screens. But of course, we have the technology, like with the Zoom background here. I think there's a way that I can take my Zoom. I have a green screen. So it's not really fair. But you can make yours. Everyone knows this. I don't know why I'm explaining this. And I don't even know how to do it on this podcast. But just, see, I just changed my background to Tahiti.
Yeah, he did. Totally.
I don't even know how to do it. I have no idea how to do it. But you know what? Everybody knows by now what happens on Zoom.
But it is interesting. Like, I heard them talking. They've said it. They're open about it. And they're saying, like, I'm shooting this from my house, so it's a little weird.
Yeah.
And how, like, as soon as it was all happening, they all got studios built into their basement. Like, I think their camera qualities are a little better than my, you know.
Oh, definitely. And the lighting, you can tell, like, if you watch Seth Meyers in his attic, he only has the inside of his eyebrows now, because the lighting situation is blasting out his outer eyebrows. Nobody's doing makeup, which is awesome. Yeah. Oh God. Somebody did makeup on 60 Minutes this last Sunday, and I'll get you a name in a second here. But, it was horrific. He looked worse than Trump. It was a fantastic segment, but it was just,
okay. I don't understand this. I hate to get back to Trump, but that is his eyes. I just don't understand, with the amount of vanity he has, how it's never occurred, like it hasn't occurred to him to try to match his eyes to the rest of his face. Like that you obviously wear goggles in a sun bath or something. Like a, I don't understand it. He has white around his eyes.
I do not understand at all how there were 60 some odd million Americans who decided they were going to vote for a 71-year-old who self-tans. Like, by the time you're that old, knock it off. You shouldn't be worried about stuff like that anymore. And does a terrible job at it. Whether it's makeup or self-tan or whatever, like, this guy's a little bit off. These are nature's warning signs.
Well, there
don't do that. But
I've
even
learned from real estate, like, I understand Trump a little bit more in his taste because... So there's an area up here in Shoreline called the Highlands. So there's a lot of very rich old money, some mansions. They're kind of set apart from the rest of Shoreline. I call it eyes wide shut level money. You know, it's
right.
If when those houses go to list, they're like $10 million homes, right?
Yeah.
$14 million. HOA dues are like $1,800 a month. The disgusting level of design where it's like they decided they wanted leopard prints on their stairs. So it's like, it looks like a leopard, like they
like have, with a carpet.
Yes. Like a leopard carpet up the stairs. And I can understand like, oh, they don't have anyone that'll say no to them.
Right.
That's how Trump got into his all gold, right?
He still doesn't have it. He's running the country. Our lives are in his hands. And he still doesn't have anyone to tell him, sir, it's 187 countries. You keep saying the wrong number of countries. You've said it wrong every single, or even better, a better example, sir, the Spanish flu was in 1918. You keep saying 1917. It's a simple thing. It's it's meaningless. It doesn't change anything in the grand scope of things. But the trouble is, his acknowledgement that it happened in 1918 doesn't affect anything, but there are so many other things that do affect things.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have anybody who's willing to give him the bad news or make a correction. Scott Pelley, by the way, is the 60 Minutes interviewer who has the terrible makeup. So everybody go back and watch the Scott Pelley interview on 60 Minutes from, what is it, March? Sometime in March.
May.
Again, 60 Minutes. This guy on Scott Pelley's like, oh, there's going to be this virus and it's going to be terrible. Come on. Anyway, let's go dancing.
Yeah, we should. Dancing. What do you do? What do you do now?
Well, besides nightclubbing?
Yeah.
Just stockpiling for the virus. I've got my guns. you know, I've got an AK-47. I might pick up an AK-48 or a 49. Maybe go as high as a 53. Because, you know, this shit's all coming down.
What's your plan now, though?
So I've given notice at my place in L.A.
Okay.
I'm going to move back here and basically shelter down and pick up whatever work I can get. I've got an audition tomorrow for a little company called Microsoft.
Okay.
I won't give you any details because, you know, we all have NDAs and all that other stuff. But hopefully I'll be able to pick up some scraps and garbage. I don't want to call it garbage. I mean, I appreciate any work. And then just see what happens. And then once LA opens up again and there's actual studio work, I'll head back down. But we don't know what's going to happen. And right now everything's opening up and nothing has changed. We still don't have a vaccine.
Yeah. Well, we
don't have any way to combat this. And being a 50-year-old who's already had two heart attacks, it's probably not a good idea for me to go and jump into the corona melting pot. So I'm going to ride it out up here. I'm very lucky. I have wonderful friends and family who will support me. You know, I raised my son. He works for a big company. He's a computer guy now, so he can pay for me. I haven't had to yet.
That's what I'm working on Finn now. I mean, there's only two, but.
Exactly. Get him through coding boot camp so he's ready to go.
Like by six, he should be fine.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if he can learn just one full stack, he should be fine.
So part of the show is we go back to a lot of people's origins. Was it like we do an origin story? We do like
are we going to talk about Game of Thrones?
A little bit.
I thought we talked about Game of Thrones and Marvel.
What? Sometimes we do.
I watched Spider-Man four times for this.
Did you?
No.
Into the Spideyverse?
You... The Spideyverse was really great,
it was,
actually.
No, it was really good. It was really
I completely accept that premise.
Yeah. I like, that was one thing I thought we might see more. I was going to say this earlier. I think we might see more animated stuff come.
Maybe you can do animation?
To prime time. We may see prime time animation starting. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can be done. And guess where a lot of the cells are done? Guess where a lot of animation is done? South Korea.
Oh, really?
And guess who's got this virus thing down? South Korea.
Because, hey.
So, yeah, they're working. They never stop working over there.
People keep saying they want to do another season of Friends. Maybe they can do it animated. Everyone's sitting at home anyway. Maybe they'll do it.
They could actually do Friends over this. They could do Zoom Friends. They just did an episode of Parks and Rec. And it worked.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It was good. It was enjoyable. It was entertaining.
I'll look that up.
Yeah, it was. It's a
I'm talking
good
a season, though. But if you wanted to do like a whole season
you could do The Office.
All by Zoom. I don't want to see every show be Zoom. I'd rather see an animated
version.
Here
we are.
Animated version. We can see an animated version. And I've wondered how many shows that were like pilots, or they like, they ordered 13 and then they were like, never mind. We're not going to air this. If they're going to start digging those out and going, well, you know, it wasn't that bad of a show. Let's do a limited run on CBS.
Tell you a story about that exactly?
Oh, yeah.
So I have a friend. I think I can say her. I won't tell you what it's about, but it's Kelly Moore. And she has been on shows like you'll see her on The View and they'll say, our lifestyle specialist, Kelly Moore. And Kelly Moore comes out and shows you, hey, here's what you want to do for your Halloween party. Take these toilet paper rolls and, you know, whatever. Like, she's basically a Martha Stewart, but she's not Martha Stewart. And you see her on all the talk shows and stuff like that. I don't know that you'd recognize her, but honestly, you've been home a lot lately, so you might.
I might.
Anyway, she was, she's great. People love her. She's very friendly, very affable. And she was working on a show and just shot the pilot a couple of months ago. And it's, without giving anything away, it's a home renovation network type of show.
Yeah.
Like the Home and Garden or what, one of those networks like that. And it's a great idea. And it's something that no one else has done before that I've seen.
Uh-huh.
You're not doing that right now.
Yeah.
So there's thousands of projects like that that are just on hold. I was just before this all came down, I was reading an article in the Hollywood Reporter about there being, I think, 568 scripted series, which is by far a new record because you've got your Netflix and your Hulu, your Peacock Network. Everybody is producing all this new content, but you can't shoot that in a pandemic.
But what about the ones that were shot that never aired because they didn't think they're like, we're not going to go with this?
That is an excellent question. I have a story about that as well.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to keep it to myself. Yeah. So my daughter, my wonderful daughter, Amanda Panda, she shot an episode for Cut, which is a YouTube channel with about 10 to 13 million subscribers. And they do things. You've seen it before.
I've been on it. Yeah.
Oh, you've been on Cut. Okay. So they do like grandmother's smoking pot for the first time.
Yeah.
Or here's a lineup. They do a lot of lineup videos.
Yeah.
So everyone listening has probably seen one of their lineup videos on YouTube. So they did an episode of Cut with Amanda, probably 2.5 years ago. And it was, match up these people with the prescriptions that they take.
Oh.
And they decided at the time, we really liked you guys, were great. It didn't really fit with our theme of what we're looking to go with right now. And so it was shelved. Well, now they're so desperate for content that this week someone, I don't know what kids do, they don't call each other up, but someone, let's say chat snapped Amanda. They chat snapped Panda and they were like, hey, your episode of Cut is out. And it is. And so there it is. So there's going to be all kinds of content like that has been shelved.
Because they're going to say, it wasn't that good, but it's better than this.
Exactly. So we got nothing else.
We might as well start doing it.
And they still, advertisers need to get eyeballs. And at some point, the networks are going to have to say, there's going to be all kinds of Zoom shows. I mean, there have to be. Either that or a state like Georgia, if you're going to get actors who are willing to do it. And then, like we said a few minutes ago, you're going to get actors who are willing to, I'll sequester myself, the entire crew, everybody gets into a hotel. And you go from the hotel to the studio, which is how you shoot remotely anyway.
Yeah.
For example, if you're shooting an episode of Grimm, you're cast out of L.A. you get put into a hotel, some boutique hotel in Portland, and you're taken to set and back. Everybody is a hire, very few local hires usually. Everybody can get tested. And then once you've passed that 2-week mark, theoretically, everybody's good to go.
Yeah. Hopefully.
So if we ever get the testing together, yeah, that can happen.
I do know. I'm waiting for the season finale of Walking Dead. I've talked about this on the show before because apparently it has to be post-production wasn't finished when everything got shut down in L.A. And
hey, isn't that shot in Atlanta?
Shot in Atlanta, but its post is done in L.A.
Oh, okay.
And so they haven't finished it yet. So they actually need, they like have a week's worth of work apparently to do on it.
They'll
but
do
like,
it.
Nobody can go to the studio and just start editing. Come on.
No. They've been sent laptops at home and stuff. I have an editor who lives right by me and she's still working.
They said it's for, that's what they're waiting. They said once they are allowed, they need about a week and then it'll air. Whenever.
Yeah.
But the finale we had one episode before the finale and it just stopped playing.
Do you want me to tell you what happens?
No.
Okay.
Because
it's The Walking Dead. Every episode's exactly the same, Silas. Why you didn't give up on that show 4 years ago like the rest of us, I don't know.
Not the rest of us. They're expanding. They're expanding to new shows now. So
it doesn't mean it's any good.
Oh, it's enjoyable.
Actually, honestly, right now they could just set up cameras by the protest, play the Walking Dead theme. You're good to go.
I do want to write my episode of The Walking Dead or a zombie apocalypse where people are insisting to go back to work during, you know, like why should we shut down just because a minority of the people become zombies? That's not what this country's about.
Oh, that's actually a really good premise. That's copyright the thing. When this was all first happening, it was like, why are all these people dying? And I was like, couldn't they just be zombies? like Walking Dead zombies. So they're not scary at all. Like they're literally walking.
Yeah.
Just call it Limping Dead. There's some zombie shows like, what's the one? What's the great movie? Zombieland, where they run.
Yeah.
You got to do your cardio, right?
Yeah.
Rule number one. That's a great premise. But The Walking Dead is, a zombie comes along. Okay, get behind a tree. Walk around the tree for a while. Walk around the tree. Then eventually, do a brisk jog away. You're fine.
Yeah.
So you could do that and just have – the zombies are just kind of part of society. Just the same way you're playing street hockey, some kids playing street hockey. Same way that now you'd be like, car, and everybody, gets aside. Yeah. It'll be a zombie. And the kids just kind of move to the side. The zombie comes through.
That's hilarious.
There's your show right there. And you know what? Right now, people will watch.
Yeah, they would. Anything. Too bad.
I'm getting word, Silas. You've been greenlit.
Okay.
Netflix has ordered 6 episodes. Well, it just went up to 12. You're good.
Right. Have you always, were you like a theater brat?
Yeah, I think so. I can remember somewhere. I didn't have one, but somebody had a Kermit the Frog Muppet, you know, a puppet basically, but a Muppet it wasn't a real Muppet. Do you remember those? They had the you could get a Muppet. You get Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, maybe Fozzie.
An action figure or a puppet?
No, like a puppet. You would stick your hand up its butt and then you could do the mouth.
Okay.
It didn't have the wires for the hands, but I think the hands had Velcro on them or something. You could take the hand and put it on the chest or whatever. But basically, you would just use your hand making the mouth go. Okay. And for those of you listening at home without the video, I'm using my hand as if it was in a sock puppet. So I wanted them to get the full picture.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Because they're like, I wonder what he's doing right now. Exactly what you thought I was doing. That's exactly what I'm doing. Somehow I got a hold of this and I was living in Africa at the time and I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. We didn't have TV. So I sort of entertained myself by putting on my own Muppet shows. And again, it wasn't my Kermit. I think it belonged to one of my buddies and I borrowed it and probably never gave it back.
I feel like they weren't the real Muppets. They were like the Fluppets, like from the last movie.
I don't know because again, this is Swaziland, Africa. So I don't know where those Muppets originally came from. They could have been knockoffs. I have no idea. But in my head, it was Kermit, right?
Yeah. So, okay. So you were in a theater. When did you, when I know you, I met you doing Lyft. That's how I started you. And you,
that's the story. We don't mention the strip club.
Huh? No, no, not that.
Okay. And edit
I knew
that
you,
out.
I knew you had like a, you were into the limo business at one time.
Yeah.
Like, were you an actor before that?
Oh yeah. No, when I was 10, we came back to Canada. And in several small towns in Canada, they turn the hockey rinks into sort of camps for the kids. Like a, maybe it's a computer camp, maybe it's space camp, maybe it's, this was a theater camp during the summer because, you know, ice melts. And so in the summer, our local hockey rink turned into a theater, our arena. And my mom saw an ad in the local paper and it said, does your son have hair on his toes? If so, he could be the Hobbit, right? So they were putting on a production of The Hobbit, and she took me down there, and I stood in line with a bunch of kids, and they had a little Casio keyboard there for the audition, and they said, oh, do you know any songs? I'm like, yeah, and whatever song, I don't even remember what song it was. They usually have you do Happy Birthday or whatever. Yeah. They're like, oh, sing Happy Birthday, and he played the little Casio, and I sang Happy Birthday, and the next thing you know, I was Bilbo Baggins, and then I sort of measure my life out from that point as to what production I was in at the time.
Was that your?
So I don't remember.
Was that your last? That? Was that your last lead role?
Yeah, that was it. After actually, I didn't. I broke my leg before it was over. But yeah, I got to play the spider web. It was all very, very well done.
Fancy.
Yeah.
So you did do theater. When did you transition to?
By the way, I can hear your son crying in the background. I know. It's bleeding through.
We'll get it.
And I love that. That's reality.
I'll get it in post. What did you, when did you go to the film or TV?
So I actually ended up getting a degree in theater.
Really?
And yeah, you have, I have a degree and it's completely useless for those thespians out there who want to go, you know, keep going. No, I mean, if you want to teach theater, it's good for something, but I literally have never walked into an audition. They take a look at my headshot, flip it over and they say, Oh, you have a degree. Well, the part is yours, sir. Well, teach us, Master Thespian.
But don't you think that you did learn skills and that you've...
Nope.
You don't think you learned how to look at a script and all of that?
Theater and television, of course, are two completely different things. Yeah. There are wonderful theater actors who are never comfortable doing television and vice versa. One of my old professors, and I'm sure he stole this from somewhere, it's like... Theater is surgery with a knife, whereas television is surgery with a scalpel.
Yeah.
And you can just look at the old movies where everybody's overacting. Sir, I tell you something right now, sir. It's a trap, I say. A trap.
Yeah.
It's so huge compared to what you see on television now. And you can tell good acting now because they're whispering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is good. This is dramatic.
That's good.
You'll never find it, Scully, but the truth is out there. Is it Mulder that the guy who whispers?
Yeah,
is it Mulder?
Yeah.
David Duchovny just does nothing but whisper.
Yeah.
And if you're ever on set, you can be, well, a set with 6 feet apart, you know, that's kosher. But if you're standing 10 feet back by the camera, you can't hear usually the two actors, even if they're doing a fight scene sometimes. They just, all actors talk like this. And the microphone guys do a wonderful, the Foleys are amazing.
They lack skill.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm loud. But so that's why I don't really have a career.
I know. I mean, I'm not saying that I do think I got some skills, some life skills doing theater that I may not have had I not gone to college.
No, absolutely. There, if you're interested in theater, a theater degree can be a wonderful thing. Here's the thing. And why I say this I paid a lot to go to school. I worked full time while I was going to school, so I couldn't really be in as many productions as I wanted
to be.
Plays.
Yeah. Then.
And I mean, I was in some, but again, I was working to pay for college because college is expensive. And this is in 1923, right after the Spanish flu. So it was a lot cheaper back then. I mean, kids nowadays with the college, oy, don't get me started. But I was living in LA at the time. I attended UC Irvine just in sort of South Orange County. Those 4 years, those 18 to 22, 23, I could have been acting in actual productions in Los Angeles as opposed to going to college where I had to take Botany 101 and Fundamentals of AIDS and Botany 102 and then Botany 103 to round, et cetera, et cetera. You have to do the full spectrum in order to get your degree.
Yeah.
Doing all these classes, when I could have, I mean, how many movies can you think of with teenagers in them? That's the prime time, that 18 to 24, 25. If you look young, which I did, I should have been out there auditioning for things. Actually, I auditioned for and got a part in Dead Poets Society, but because I didn't have a green card yet, they couldn't use me.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And Robin Williams wasn't even part of the vehicle yet. So it was a no budget. You know, if Robin had come on board, or if it was, I think was it Miramax, or
so they might have kicked you out.
Well, no, first of all, I would have said, that's my uncle, you know, my last name Williams. Like, yeah. When are they going to check until like 3 weeks into the shoot? And then they're like, wait, you were kidding? And I'm like, ha ha, nano, nano. And they had to let me go because it would have cost them a couple of grand just to get the lawyer to get the visa to allow me to work.
Wow.
And it may not have happened. So they have their pick of actors.
Yeah.
Especially in that. And I don't know any of those actors. I can't recall if any of them have gone on to do other things. I mean, I'm sure they have. They didn't die immediately after production. What's that?
Ethan Hawke.
Oh, was he in that? Okay. There you go then. Yeah.
I thought he was.
I don't know. Somebody look it up.
Damon Wayans? No. there was
Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans, wasn't he in that?
I don't know, but I know Damon Wayans' neighbor, so small world.
So
I got a degree in theater.
Yeah.
And then moved the hell out of LA as soon as I graduated. I bought a minivan and moved out of LA.
Why would you move out of LA? Were you avoiding acting? Is that what you were doing?
No, I helped my parents move up to Seattle.
Okay.
And moved them up here, and it's just so beautiful. And keep in mind, I grew up in the Yukon. I grew up in Africa. I grew up in Edmonton, which is the northern prairies. I'm used to nature.
Yeah.
LA is just a concrete jungle.
It's awful.
And smog. And while I was there, my final few months there, that's when the Rodney King riots happened. Oh. And it didn't matter that I was in South Orange County. They were breaking windows at South Coast Plaza.
Yeah.
It was insane. There was rioting at UCI campus, which is white bread, Orange County.
Right.
And it affected everywhere. And I was like, you know, I just helped my parents move to Seattle a couple of years ago. There's so much green. There's so much water. It's not 95 degrees all the time. I was like, I think I'll go try out Seattle, see how it is. And I moved up here and I got a part. I was the kids host on Q13 television here for a couple of years, won a couple of Emmys, had a great time.
You're an Emmy Award winning?
Yes.
You're an Emmy Award winner.
Yep. And it never gets me anything. You would think.
Yeah.
But regional Emmies.
Ah, so, regional.
Yeah. There are national Emmys. There are regional Emmys. See, it's the same thing.
I think you did the same problem I did. I creating the vision board. We were doing, as I was doing comedy, like Gretchen and I were like, okay, we need to make a focus to get me on TV. I just need to get on TV. We're going to focus and figure out how to do that. Get me on TV.
On TV.
Yeah, then I got on the 206, and then I was like, oh, I didn't specify national. Like,
oh, you should have. I would have gotten you on Last Comic Standing. I'm so sorry.
My vision board wasn't there. I was like, well, I did it. Okay, I guess.
You were on TV.
Kevin's one of the reasons. I got Manny on TV, so I got Manny. And then
wait, by the way, isn't Manny your co-host on this?
Yeah,
or?
He was. I don't know.
Is he not now? Is it the Cove? Did it take him?
He's been doing a show with Jubal for a bit now.
So. Oh, okay. Is that the radio guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been gone for so long from Seattle. I don't even know anymore.
Who knows? It's all in the air, but Black and Half had to continue because it's,
the half?
It's a good title.
I grew up in Africa. I'm mixed race. I mean, my family's mixed race. I'm white. I am so white. But my brother and sister are both adopted, and they're very dark. So can I be the half?
Mixed.
Mixed race family. Yes, family.
You need a apostrophe there, right?
No, a hyphen.
A hyphen.
Why would I need an apostrophe? Do you know what apostrophe is? The sky
asterisk.
Comma.
Sorry, an asterisk.
An asterisk would be appropriate, yes.
But that led, 206. Then that led him to the other TV. So I like to say it's all your fault. I was thinking it was mine.
So that you got on the 206?
No, I knew you got me on the 206, but I was thinking, I forgot that. I was like, well, I guess I was crediting myself to getting Manny on other television shows because I started that ball. But I forgot you were the actual initial.
Oh, so
ball.
I got you. I introduced you to the 206, and then you got Manny on the 206.
Yeah.
Through your contacts from
basically,
me.
I introduced him. I introduced.
Okay, I think Manny owes me $10.
He probably does. Which is
he's taking me dancing tomorrow. $10
more than he got paid. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now is he getting paid with Jubal?
Then you left. I'm not talking about that show.
Is this a sore point? Let's talk about you, Silas.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm not talking. I don't go on the View. No.
You see how
do I go on the View and
there?
Talk? Do I don't go on the Today Show and talk about Good Morning America?
You don't go on the Today Show.
Exactly, because they keep bringing up Good Morning America.
They're like, hey, Silas, I'm one of the producers. I just want to talk to you about, what's been going on in your life. Well, I've been watching a lot of GMA. That's your voice in my head. That's Silas's voice. Well, I've been watching a lot of GMA lately, hanging out with my son, doing some podcasts. And I never mentioned my friend Manny.
Yeah.
See what happens when your voice, when you talk about Manny?
No.
There's something. Oh.
That's because I started masturbating. What did you do after you left? You left LA and came here for nature.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, I just won't act here now. I'm not going to.
No, there's acting.
I mean,
I was a sort of a big fish in a very tiny bowl. There's not that many actors here.
Oh, so, okay. So here's a question. If you did theater, you had a theater degree.
Theater degree.
How could you handle doing the god awful work that is here, like as far as I'm gonna go in and show my hands on camera, like here's me opening a box, like isn't there a level that it's not as fulfilling as when you were like doing a show?
Well, there's two things. Number one, I have no pride. Number two, I'm not that good. So
yeah, I mean I've seen
no I actually was I was a hand model just because I happened to have white hands. I was a hand model for Chris Hardwick.
Are you serious?
No, I'm totally serious.
For what?
And what it show? Was it was no it was a Verizon commercial. No, a Comcast commercial. Xfinity.
They shot it here?
They shot it here. Here was the premise. We got this email. I'm in the union, I'm SAG, AFTRA, blah 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 blah. And they sent out this email saying, "Hey, we need extras. We need a lot of extras." And I don't want to do extra work, but it was on a weekend and it was SAG union. And so it's, you're looking at $400 a day, right? That's not too shabby. Yeah. What do we got to do? We just stand around. Okay. Yeah. And
that's
I was
400
like,
Lyft rides.
Yeah. It's not a bad deal. You're not supposed to do extra work in case you don't do extra work, for example, on a TV show, because then you might get an audition for the actual show. Yeah. And then they're like, wait, you were in the background as a pizza guy last time or whatever.
Yeah.
It would never happen. No one would ever recognize you, but whatever. But my goal is to go be on, but it was commercial. So it's not like it's going to turn into a series. That's no big deal. So I was like, I'll get paid to stand around for a couple of hours. I'll go to the background. I'm probably not going to be featured. Should be fine. So the premise was there were people who wanted to switch to Xfinity. And one of the families that won was a cul-de-sac in Mill Creek or Issaquah or one of these local Seattle towns. So we all went out there and stood in the cold. And the next day they went to, I don't know, the Moore Theater or something. And we were all in there and, just as background actors. And Chris Hardwick was like, "Hey, how is your internet signal at home?" "Well, it's not very good, Chris." "Oh, well, try this out." And they had this house built on the stage. And, Bobby's up in the top bedroom. "How's your signal up there, Bobby?" "Oh, it's great. Thank you." Okay. So, and then they give him Xfinity and they fly him out to somewhere. And so at the end of shooting on one of the days, they said, "Okay, I need a white guy." And I raised my hand and they said, "Let me see your hands." And I was like, "Oh, there you go." And they looked at my hands and I have a huge scar.
Yeah.
You can't see it on the camera. And of course you can't see it on the podcast.
It's on your palm.
I have a huge scar on the palm of my hand from trying to break into a servant's quarters in Mbaban, Swaziland when I was 7 years old. That's another story.
Yeah.
But anyway, they just needed the backs of my hands. to hold this tablet, an iPad or whatever it was, so that Chris Hardwick wouldn't have to stick around and hold the tablet. And then, you know, they had me hold the back. And then so instead of making $400 for the day, I took home like $2,500 because I got upgraded to a hand model.
That's an upgrade.
That's a huge upgrade.
Because it's featured, right? Because it's like
featured. No, featured is something different. As a background actor, you get featured if you interact with the main character.
Right. Okay, wait, hold on. So,
but hand model is in and of itself.
Did you get a contract? How
George Costanza was going to be a hand model? Yeah. That actually pays really well.
Did you get multiple stand-ins for his hands? Were they like, well, we need to use these same hands for a while?
I got 2 days out of it. Then I got one run. Okay, so the commercial aired for a 13-week cycle. And if they renew, you get paid all over again. That's the beauty of union work. You get what are called residuals. I got one 13-week cycle, and then it came out that Chris had beaten up a girlfriend or something. And the commercial was pulled.
Yeah.
And that was during the Me Too movement when people cared about that kind of stuff. And now he's got his show back and everything. So I'm not even sure what came out of all that, but I know that the commercial stopped.
You jumped from 99. You jumped from Rodney King to... Was there no work before then?
99. That was 92.
When did you work?
Rodney King.
Yeah. I mean, you said you moved up here shortly after.
Well, I didn't know we were going chronological order. We just started talking about hand models.
How did you?
So,
like, I guess I was like, how did you survive the. How did you survive the. That's been my hardest part has been I've always done the theater and such for the work. And then the things that I get sent to here are just really rough.
Yeah.
Like there's no
fulfillment. The corporate videos.
It just feels feels like a work, like to as much as it can feel like work, but like, well, yeah, I'm not doing this because of the work I'm not doing this because of the work. I'm doing this for the money. Like suddenly I was doing stuff for money instead of because like, oh, this is really a good piece. If like, I'm not like, man, if I could just, I really want to help celebrate the Seahawks and, you know, and show what it's like to cheer people. I'm not, you know, like I don't care. Right.
About the Seahawks.
Well, I mean, I care, but not enough. Like there's no script. They just want you to jump up and down. Like, yeah, you're into it, right? You're into the Seahawks. And I'm like, I'm into the $2,500 you might pay.
Right.
But
yes, that's called acting.
This is no.
You know what, though? It's a day of acting, a day of sitting in a cold stadium, pretending to cheer for a high school football team or whatever they've got you doing.
I did the baseball thing with you where
it beats a day in the meat cutting plant.
It does. Yeah, that's true.
Pays a lot. It really does. And if you're lucky, it pays pretty good.
Yeah.
And you're making contacts. You're doing something with the director. Who knows? 2 years from now,
you just
it might work out.
Do you have a desire to do film?
Like, oh yeah.
I mean, besides
that's why I'm in LA
for the paychecks or for the work.
Oh, I just love doing it. I just when I'm being creative, whether that's sitting in front of this camera right now talking to you, or on the set. Honestly, this is more interesting because sets are pretty boring. There's a lot of sitting around in the trailer.
Yeah.
This just gets my juices flowing. I'm lucky. I have something that I love. I'm unlucky in that it's a ridiculous business.
Yeah.
And I never know what's coming next. And sometimes I'm filthy rich. Well, I'm never filthy rich. Sometimes I do okay. And other times, like right now, I don't know how. I mean, I'm going to have to, at some point, I'm going to have to start asking friends and family for money, which as a 50-year-old man again, I'm not embarrassed by it because I have no pride, but, I mean, I'm an actor,
but you don't,
but it's just not where you want to be, but I also get, it's not me. I can generate revenue and opportunities open up all the time. I have a meeting tomorrow. I have an audition. I have a meeting about something that I'm not even sure what it's about, but it could be something, it could be a seed that I planted 2.5 years ago finally come to fruition.
I did like that you were always
I'm making $250 for this podcast because it's union, right?
Amazon, you were always one of the people first on everything too. Like the first, you were a first
early adopter.
Yeah. You were
Amazon. Because I come from a family with adopted kids.
We jumped on Amazon Prime at about the same time. Right.
Hey, that rhymed. You're a poet.
We always found
make
these
a rap.
You've always
I jumped on Amazon Prime at the same time, committing crime, going for the
don't.
Okay, go on.
You
don't. I am mixed race. I can rap. I'm a mixed asterisk. That's my name. Little asterisk.
But you always found ways. Oh, I can go make money doing this. Some quick cash.
Yes.
Like
wheeling and dealing.
But have you grown? Have you stopped doing that because you're tired, or have you got?
Everything gets worse. I mean, everything in the gig economy, it starts out like, hey, we're making like $248 a mile here. This is a really good deal. And then you get squeezed and then you get squeezed.
You're almost done with your programming certificate, right?
I stopped the program. I got into coding school son did. And now he's working for one of the big companies.
Yeah.
And he's doing fantastically.
Yeah,
and he's making more money than all your podcast listeners put together, right? They need coders. If anyone out there is looking for, hey, what should I do for a career? Go become a coder. Even right now, they're still looking for people. Anyway, I went to his coding school. I'll give it a shout out, Coding Dojo. This was in Seattle, but they're all over the place. They're in LA and Houston, probably Dallas. Like wherever you are, you can go to a coding dojo. And in 14 to 16 weeks, they kick you out of there and you know how to computer program, and you're not out of there until you know.
Yeah.
And of course they can do everything remotely as well. So they haven't stopped, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere to get it done. And there's tons of jobs for it. The trouble is I did it for a little while. Then I started getting some acting gigs. Then I went back and then I did it for a couple more weeks. And then I started getting I did a directing gig on Twitch for a few weeks. The trouble
is, that was fun.
When you're 50 years old, your brain can't remember. Like I couldn't remember Scott Pelley's name. I know Scott Pelley. I've watched 60 Minutes 800 times, but the names, everything in the hard drive up in your brain, it starts to. You need defragmentation every once in a while.
Like my daughter thinks my computer runs slow because so many tabs are open, and I'm like, well, relatively. It keeps up to my pace. I'm okay with it taking a little while.
The older we get, the more tabs are open in our brain, and getting the name file to open just takes a while.
Yeah.
I came up with the name eventually, but I know how the programming works. I get it. My dad's an engineer. My son is now a computer engineer. Somewhere in the genetic code, I understand how it all works. But when you come back to it after 6 months of getting parts and doing commercials or whatever, and you sit there and you say, oh, I need it to do this, but am I supposed to say go, or is it start, or like which language am I in, and where does the comma go, and what's this star thing called? An asterisk? What kind of name is asterisk?
Sounds like apostrophe.
Yeah, exactly. The sky comma. So I honestly have thought, and I just was thinking about this today, you know what? I should sit down and I should get back into it again, because it's something that if you start doing it, you have to keep doing it until you've mastered it. And it really is a second language.
Yeah.
But if you don't get to the point of fluency, going back to it is difficult.
Yeah.
So
I can see
it doesn't, it's not like starting over. I could do it and I could do the 12-week, 14-week course probably in 8 weeks and 4 days. That's just ballparking it. So that's an option for me, but it's not an option I have to do. And like I said, even if it's just doing this podcast or just doing one of my, you know, parody songs, like just yesterday I was sort of writing in my head, instead of we didn't start the fire, he didn't stop the virus, you know, silly things like that.
Yeah.
I do ridiculous stuff like that. And some people seem to enjoy it, and I don't make a ton of money doing it, but I'd rather be doing that than sitting at the keyboard developing an app for some company. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You're probably in the same boat.
Amazon.
I mean, you could be a multimillionaire right now if you had really started when you were young and stuck to being a male stripper.
Yeah.
But that didn't float your boat. You've still got I mean, you could turn right around and go do it tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Once they open the clubs.
The drive-thrus in Portland. I can do that.
The stripping drive, the male stripper drive-thru version.
They have
SNL skit right there.
They have drive-thru.
Stripper by Zoom.
They have drive-thru strip clubs in Portland right now. They opened back up because they can't get unemployment. Because they banned, they took sex work out of the CARE Act. So they have no way to make money. So they're like, well, here's a way that we can do it with distancing.
Do they get the $600?
No, they can't get anything. Anyone involved in the sex industry is removed from.
Well, how is stripping a sex industry?
Because it's titillating. It's considered part of it. Any job that uses.
I just don't think you're right.
I am, though.
I mean, I get it. I understand because the GOP is in charge.
They don't. It doesn't. I don't think it just says sex workers. It says these work that
exotic dancers. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, because they're not technically sex workers. Believe me, I've tried.
Yeah. But no.
But so what? You just drive up and they come strip up to your window?
I'm not sure exactly how it's working, but they are there. I do know that.
Do you pay extra for them to take the mask off? Like, how does this work?
You don't need the mask. You're behind a window.
Oh, so it's like the where you go put the money in.
I don't
in the
know
olden
exactly.
Days.
I don't live in Portland. Otherwise, I'd know. But
yeah,
it's
only a 3-hour drive, Silas. Come on, give me the details.
I will say Amazon.
Now I've got somewhere to go to the bathroom on my way down to LA.
Again. Amazon Prime was what got me into real estate, because when we were delivering for that, the day they switched to make us get food deliveries.
Oh yeah.
The first time I delivered a pizza, I said, I'm done. I need to do something else with my life.
You.
What am I going to do? I can't keep doing this shit. I was, at the time, I think I was like, I'm 42.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Right now you're recording an ad for the Republican Party.
What?
How? This whole like, oh, it was so bad, I decided to do something else. I couldn't do it anymore. That's exactly what you hear the GOP say. We need to make it tough to be poor.
I say bullshit to that. I don't think it's fair that we've let the Republicans try to put Democrats in the idea that they're lazy and that Democrats are now. I mean, what now? Democrats are the patriotic party, right? Where they're the only ones that are patriotic.
They are.
Now. Yeah, because I mean, we're the ones who was raising the red, white, and blue while they were, you know, like going, Russia's okay. Russia's not.
Oh yeah,
bad.
No, of course, yeah. Everybody's a hypocrite. I get it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, no,
and General Flynn lied to the vice president, and now it's A-okay. Yes, it's all about party and tribe.
Right.
It's.
But I don't like that we let Democrats be told like they're like, oh well, yeah, you don't. They don't want to work hard, and they, you know, they don't want to make lives better. Like, yeah, plenty of people do. Like, look, I'm socially, I make more money than a lot of people now.
All right.
I mean, real estate has been good for me.
Good for you.
But I'm okay if I get taxed a bunch, if it's going to help out people that don't have the look. I survive. Like I find ways. I think that's what I like about you. That's
I think we have that in night.
We have that in common. That look, I got to go make money, and
we're both mixed race.
Here's this Amazon Prime thing. I'll jump on this for a while. You know, we find the ways to bring in the money. And so I have the tenacity, but I get that other people don't have the ability. They don't have the spoons to handle it.
Right.
I don't want them poor and homeless.
No.
Just because I've been given the privileges that I have in order to be able to do this stuff. I don't believe in that. And I don't like that. I feel like too many Democrats and lefties have decided to let the Republicans lay. The Republicans are great at marketing. They're the best at the marketing of what people should be doing.
Because they're willing to lie. And that's what marketing is.
It's not all marketing. Oh, it is. But I'm like, I think I do believe that you can make something better of yourself, but I don't think that that is a Republican principle. I won't accept that as a Republican principle.
Well, no, of course. But each side is going to claim that we like humans and the other side wants to kill everyone. So, I mean, it's all about fundraising. It's all about generating income for the parties.
There's literally no proof that Republicans like human beings. They do not. There's not one principle that they stand with anymore that says they like.
Isn't it? Did you think like 6 months ago we'd be arguing about whether or not lives are worth saving? I mean, are you That's a party thing? That's, yeah. Like, who? I just, it's insane. Like, well, I really don't want, I'm 50 years old. I have a heart condition. I've died before. Let me tell you, it's boring. Like, I want to stay around as long as I can, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't think that your right to get a tat goes above my right to keep living. It boggles me. Again, there's so many tabs open in my head when that happens, because it's just, what? Why are you out here protesting? Wait 6 months for a tattoo. It's okay.
Well, and I'm just, I am fathomed by I've talked about this idea of opening up movie theaters. Like, we're going to open up the movie theaters. And I'm like,
what? Who's going to go?
What are you going to watch? Nobody's, Marvel's not going to release Black Widow because Georgia opened the movie theaters.
I knew we were going to talk about Marvel. I knew we'd get there.
No, but I'm saying, like,
no, I feel full circle now. Good.
but it's true. You're not going to open a blockbuster up to one state, right? Because it's out there and then it's going to get torrented or something. Like, if that does happen, it would flop.
A blockbuster? Oh, not a blockbuster. Sorry.
No.
I used to work at Blockbuster Video. Oh, okay. I thought we were still doing retro stuff. So yes, no, you wouldn't open up a big blockbuster movie. Of course.
Yeah.
The studios are holding those back. Yes.
So I don't know what the hell they're going to open. Like, if you open movie theaters, they're like, well, nobody's going to come. We're not going to release anything.
They are opening movie theaters and restaurants. And for the first little while, attendance is going to be pretty good. And then there's going to be hotspots. Things are going to flare up and there's going to be one or two cities. And of course the news will cover that because people are dying and it's sensational. And people will stop going. And then there's those of us on the other side that are like, I'll just eat at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think most people are not going to go out. I think.
Oh, the vast majority. The polls show you about 80% of the people are like, hey, we don't need to open things up so quickly. Yeah, Let's try and figure some out.
Like, cause even the people who believe in it, I mean, they're not, I was with some folks today who are my clients and they believe in everything. They just aren't as good about being aware of the, hey, you're like 4 feet away from me. And they want to back up a little bit.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
You know, but they're not going to go. They're not going to go in a McDonald's, you know, like, no.
Your food and get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
is fine. Like, and I know there's a lot of people now that are eating out on a regular basis, but they get the food and they go.
Yeah.
And that they want to support the local business. Like, I was just walking by a local business that had hamburgers. I happen to have hamburgers right now in the fridge. So I'm like, I'll wait until we're out of those and then I'll go. But I want to support the local business. I'm not making any money. I know some of my patrons are probably not making any money, but they're like, you know what? Let's give Kev 10 bucks. Like, he's doing something that I'm enjoying. I want to help him out as well.
Yeah.
Every commercial now is like, we're all in this together. And when this is done, right? So yeah, that's true though. It's a universal message of, yeah, we are all in this together. So we want to help each other, but there's no reason to take an American flag and rub it in the coronavirus because liberty.
I will say, I think we've replaced bread and circus with trying to tell people they're essential and they're heroes.
Yeah.
Like, how are you calling these people heroes and you like fought for them to not make minimum wage?
Right.
Like, you don't.
You're a $7 an hour hero, buddy.
You don't care. All these people, they're like, oh, you're heroes for being out here. Like, you just 5 months ago, you said you were offended at the idea that they might make $15 an hour.
Yep. That I should get myself a better job, just like Silas, that I should sell real estate. No, but it's true. There was a great tweet that went viral a few weeks back.
Was it mine?
It's like, hey, stop calling me a hero. I work in a grocery store. Give me a fucking mask and 20 bucks an hour. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm really glad they're still doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they're making way too little to do it.
Oh, absolutely. My wife, people, listeners know, she works in a cancer center, you know, medical assistant, and they get COVID. Uh-huh. COVID people show up because...
Right.
They're a high, you know, they don't have an immune system.
Yep.
Once you're there. And, you know, and my wife's also immune compromised and she's working. And, you know,
what?
I do say, I say she is a hero. She's a hero to me because she goes in there. She gets up every day and still goes. Like, I would have been like, I'd cry every morning. I'm like, right. I don't want, This could
she
be
does.
It.
She does this on the way to work, but it's got nothing to do with her work.
I think she cries on the way home. She's probably like, both. He's still there. He's still there.
Yeah. And you look out the window and she waves at you. She's like, oh, yeah, no, it was an article. It was one of those NPR things. It was a driveway moment. I couldn't put it down. You look like you were sobbing. I was laughing. Just chuckling so hard.
Thinking of my life. Just
that Kai Rizdal.
Wow.
Laugh a minute.
You know, but I'm like, I think she's a personal hero. But when I hear it from like the government, I'm like, no, you don't. You don't think she is. You'd freaking have made masks.
Yep.
You'd have more masks. So that's what gets me. Okay. I want to get off this. Well, we're almost done anyway, but like I get so infuriated. Well,
here's the thing, Silas, it's March 12th. Yeah. Why don't we all have masks by now? Things are going to happen.
How is it? Like I'm watching them and them saying everybody has masks.
Hold on. Podcast listeners can't tell that I'm like, they can't see that I'm smiling right now.
I know
it's not March. Just in case they tuned in. You know how you tune into a podcast halfway through?
Yeah. She tells me.
What time does this air, Silas?
Who knows?
It's on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. What is it on Eastern? Because I want my grandma to listen.
Okay. She tells me, I'm watching the news and they're saying everyone has PPE. Oh, everyone's got masks. And she knows for a fact that the people in the ER are wearing surgical masks and they're issued one a day.
Yep.
And it's falling apart by the end of the day.
One a week now.
Oh, my God. And it's like, it's not still in the news, like, because we've gotten tired of it. We've gotten tired of 1,000 people dying a day.
It was on 60 Minutes.
What? How many people died?
The PPE, the lack of PPE.
Oh, yeah. So nobody saw it. Okay. but I'm like, it kills
Pelly
him.
Saw
like,
it.
Like, absolutely, this is not true. It might be true for the woman in Montana in the small town that has no cases. Yeah, they have plenty of masks. They're fine.
Yeah.
But it's just not a reality, and that would just infuriate me. Like, I was like, do you know what he said today? And I'd ask, is this happening at your hospital? And she's like, no, that's not.
No. My sister's a nurse as well.
And I would go, it would just drive me nuts.
Yeah, no, she's told me stories about that. I mean, and this is in Canada. They have what they need, but there were times when they were 3 or 4 days away from just not having it.
Yeah.
But they have a very different system up there, of course. So, but the local nurses down here, I know some people in the hospitals down here that are, it's day to day of, if you work in the VA, if you're a level one nurse, you get one mask a week. If you're a level two nurse, you get, this was a couple of weeks ago, you get two masks and you use those masks for a month. You use one for 1 week and then you switch to the other. And they send you a bag for the mask. So you put the mask into a bag, you leave it for a week. And then the third week, you go back to the first mask. And the fourth week, you go back to the second mask. And this is the United States of America. How is that happening? And they keep talking about how, just today, they were bragging about, oh, we've delivered 95 million N95 masks, which are 3 times the normal amount. Yeah, we have a pandemic. We need 30 times the normal amount.
This is something that has crossed my mind. Do you think there's any chance that the people around Trump are telling him, no, they're totally supplied? Do you think there's people that
completely like we talked about earlier, nobody will tell him bad news. Nobody gives him bad news. And whatever they tell him, he can't comprehend anyway. Whatever comes at Trump, he will turn it around. Just like, I don't know if you saw him talking to the nurses. They had National Nurse Day or whatever it was just a couple of days ago. And he was asking the nurses, you guys have plenty of supplies now with your masks and everything.
Yeah,
and the nurses were like, well, you know, we've made adjustments and there are certainly places that they don't have enough. We're lucky at our hospital. We have enough, but there are some places. Oh yeah. Well, I've heard, that's not what I've heard. I've heard the opposite. Everybody's got whatever you tell him, it cannot get in there. He has a definite comprehension disorder. There's no doubt. Yeah. Absolutely no doubt that this man doesn't understand this is the one human being on the planet that pointed at a solar eclipse. Like nobody else on the planet has done that. Since the dawn of science, right? Since we knew eclipses were coming, since we could tell when they were going to happen, there's not a single human being who's pointed and looked directly at the sun. Because we know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Okay, last political question, though.
Political?
This last hot topic.
I walk the fence. I'm middle of the road.
So
I don't really have opinions.
Obama got leaked something he said.
What?
Did you hear?
Obama got leaked?
An audio clip got leaked about him, the disaster, how disastrous he thought it was.
Yes.
There was an episode of West Wing, right? Did you ever watch the West Wing?
I've seen the beginning of the first episode several times and it looks fantastic.
Well, on one episode, President Bartlet is he's doing an interview and the TV station finishes the interview and he continues talking to the woman and they say something about the candidate that he's running against.
This is why I never let anyone record me.
Hold on. And they ask about this candidate and he makes a joke about how stupid they are. And then people freak out and they're like, dude, the mic's hot. They're still recording.
Yeah.
And he's like, uh-oh. And the whole episode is dealing with this fallout, this ramifications of he got caught on there and he won't say, like, he's apologizing. I didn't know the mic was hot, but he won't go back on what he said about him. And near the end of the episode, somebody... And so everyone's talking about, is this other candidate really stupid? You know, and at the end of the episode, someone figures it out that he absolutely knew that Mike was hot, but he can't just call him stupid.
Right.
So it had to be overheard. Do you think there's any chance Barack Obama didn't know he was being recorded?
Well, first off, thanks for spoiling that episode, Silas.
Yeah.
And secondly, yeah, absolutely. Of course. Absolutely, you're on Zoom. Everybody knows they're being recorded all the time.
He knew that was going to leak.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted that out there.
Oh, yeah. And it's no big deal. I mean, it goes back to being all about fundraising. And whether that fundraises or not, who knows? But you have to ask yourself, after all these shocking incidents, is this going to change one voter's mind in one of the swing states?
No,
that's what actually matters. And it's not. You're either for or against or you don't care.
I think it's like everything. It's like the convention and the speech. It's to excite the base.
Right. And then the last few days of the election, a few things will happen. And then the people who decide what happens in this country, the people who make the elections go one way or the other, are the folks who kind of decide, maybe I should go vote. And on the way to the election polling booth, they see a yard sign and they're like, well, you know what? I prefer that color of red. And they cast their vote. And that's the idiocy of this system. And the American people can choose one candidate over the other by 3 million votes and still lose.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous system.
God bless America.
Yeah. But will it ever change? Yes, it will. Everything changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will it change in our lifetime? No, because we're all going to be dead like in 3 weeks because of all these people opening up the theaters. I have to get my test.
We're going to be dead in April?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you've got African-American blood in you.
Yeah.
I have had a heart attack.
We're just fucked.
We're both high risk at this point. I grew up in a mixed race asterisk family.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes me higher as a risk. But no, I mean, we're both going to be fine. The thing is, you don't roll those dice, right?
Yeah.
You don't take that chance.
No.
Why? Why? Can you imagine, let's say, okay, you're part of a theater company, right? You're putting on a musical.
But I miss going out for pho. Isn't that worth it?
You miss the fucking?
Well, I need to go to fucking.
Yeah, everyone needs fucking. but just go pick up fucking and have them bring it back
but
to your place.
But it's not the same.
You just go to the fucking restaurant and pick up the pho.
But I just
it is the same.
But I just want to go to the. I just want to go to Old Navy.
And it's that.
I need a T-shirt. Why can't I just go get a T-shirt?
You guys can't see Silas's body language right now, but he's just sort of putting his head to the side, and he's you can sort of hear it in his voice, and he's playing a character.
Right.
But there are X number of millions of Americans who have that exact attitude right now. And it's, well, people are going to die. Yeah, but just froyo.
But it's mostly nursing homes.
Yeah, really? It's mostly old people. So,
you know, they're marking everybody as a COVID patient now. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Like I got hit by a car the other day. Yeah, and immediately they're like, COVID.
And they said, oh, it's COVID.
Yeah.
Because the hospitals make more money.
Oh, and, yeah. And that's
doctors
what it is.
Really want the hospital to make more money.
Well, so the hospitals don't. Remember, they're heroes. The hospitals have to pay Bill Gates because the hospitals use Windows on their computers. You don't believe me? Go look. That's what this is all about.
Bill Gates wants to know where you are going. They need to track you. And this was the only way he could do it. He could have, you know, got the tracking systems into the flu vaccine or, you know, the chicken pox one. But he said, you know what? If we can just get a disease into some bats and get those bats to infect
playing the long game.
If we could get the 5G towers to emit this virus,
yeah,
then everyone would be so freaked out. Everyone will just go get the vaccine because they trust the Trump administration will have their best interest in heart and, you know, come up with a vaccine in like 6 months. And I'm sure it's thoroughly tested and everyone will take it. And then he could track everybody when they want to go get some fucking out.
Well, that all makes sense when you say it like that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking the other day, there are four horses of the Acropolis, right? In Greece, I think, where the Acropolis is. And they're going to kill us all. And there's one Obama. Four plus one. That's five, my brother. Do the math in your head. It checks out. Do it on 5G. Paper. Do it on your Microsoft computer machine. It checks out. 5G. What does that tell you? 5G. And you laugh. Open your eyes, sheeple.
Okay. I have some questions I ask people the first time they're on the show.
Okay. And people go on the show multiple times.
This is how we end the program. Especially,
you know, $250 is $250 bucks.
Yeah. I need a Venmo of some. Okay. So here they are. Seven questions.
Boxers.
What are you most nerdy about?
Boxers. I knew that question was coming. What am I most nerdy about?
Yeah.
Stats. Okay. Oh, I love numbers. Like the whole four horsemen plus one Obama.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm an engineer's son. Like right now, I will take spreadsheets. I create spreadsheets of new cases in different states. I look for trends. I look at the states. I have a spreadsheet on my Twitter right now. By the way, can I plug my Twitter at Kevin Lee Father?
Absolutely.
You're probably going to do it in the show or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, if you go to at Kevin Lee Father, I've been pinning to the top of my thread these spreadsheets of how many new cases there are per state, what percentage is compared to last week, et cetera, et cetera. I get into the numbers of it because numbers tell us things. And then the states are all colored as to when they opened up or did not open up. And you start to see trends. And one of our friends, Denise, we both know Denise. You shot one of your short films at her place.
Well, now they'll know. Okay.
We don't remember her?
Now they don't think it's real. Okay.
Well, they don't think it's real. Should I start over? You're going to edit this out in
characters.
Post?
Characters. They thought it was the character's house. And now you've told them whose house it was. You broke the illusion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I ruined your short film. Okay. Oh, darn
you
it.
You love stats.
Now Netflix is
you
not
love stats.
Okay. So anyway, but I had to give her credit because she's probably going to hear this podcast. Okay. Yeah. She was looking at the spreadsheet. And noticed, look at all the early states, the states that all closed early. Most of them are now towards the bottom in terms of the growth rate. So maybe they did the right thing. And look at this. Every single one of the early closing states is not opening up anytime soon. Smart. Maybe they know something. Their rates have all dropped. Not every one of them. I mean, there's the hot spots like Illinois. Yeah. What are you going to do? But if you look at if you're looking for patterns, that would be the one to notice. So that's what I'm nerdy about. To answer that, to give stats. You a 17 minute answer to that question. Stats, numbers, patterns.
What is something that you love to eat?
What don't I love to eat? My comfort food is food. Macaroni and cheese.
Ooh.
Porridge. I've got a pizza it's been a half a piece of pizza that's been sitting here. For the last whatever hour and 40 minutes.
You don't have a final meal that you would?
I love me some mangoes. If there was a mango that I didn't have to eat over the sink, heaven. Like if there was just a mango that was like a fresh mango that I could bite into, but somehow the juice stayed within the confines of my mouth, I would be so happy. Yeah. Oh, and also like the shards of it wouldn't get the shards. The meat of the mango.
Yeah, the flesh.
What's the mealy part?
The flesh.
Called? The flesh, the fiber, the flesh. Yeah. If it didn't get caught in my teeth, I would be so happy. So that's not really the answer to the last meal. Oh, you know what? Because of my heart medication, I can't have grapefruits. So grapefruits would still not be my last meal because they're not that great. But I wish I could have a grapefruit.
What's something that you love to drink?
Apple juice.
What kind of music?
Are you looking for like a cocktail or something?
No, just whatever you like to drink.
Like a good cold apple juice. When I was a kids host on television, we went and toured one of the treetop juice factories in Yakima or somewhere out in Eastern Washington. And I got apple juice that was chilled in a giant vat, like just like you imagined beer in a brewery. Exactly the same thing. A giant vat. I don't know what the name for the... A 5,000 gallon kettle, whatever the thing that you have the tap on the bottom of, you take the beer out. They have the same thing, but for apple juice, which is super chilled.
Okay.
Maybe the best beverage I've ever had right out of the giant cooler. I know there's probably a very simple name for that thing. And everyone listening to the podcast is like, this guy's an idiot. I have a lot of tabs open in my head.
What kind of music do you love?
Right now on my Twitter page, I'm doing a 64 bracket challenge like March Madness, but for Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the kinds of music I like, but I run the range. I don't like country so much, and I don't like gangster rap. I like most other rap. I like hip hop, et cetera. But gangster rap where it's all about hatred, not for me. And country where it's all about getting drunk and getting divorced, not for me. Mm-hmm. But the Beatles, the modern stuff. I'm lucky enough to have a teenage daughter. Well, she's not teenage, because she's 21 now. But she listens to so much new stuff that I have an appreciation for things like Black Bear, Alec Benjamin. If you're out there and you want somebody who's amazing, and now John, big fan of his now too, Alec with a C, Benjamin, look him up. Amazing music. He's 24 or 25 years old now, and he writes like he's a 500-year-old soul. Poetry, fantastic singer. And a wonderful job with the music itself.
What do you love to create?
Chaos. I get paid to pretend. Like to come up with, this is fun, but we're just talking about ourselves and we're doing a little bit of pretending and et cetera, et cetera. But when it's an idea that comes to fruition, like a TV episode. Here's an episode of Grimm. You're going to play a guy who turns into an ogre. Oh, this is cool. Like you're taking an idea that formed in somebody's head as a firing of some electrons, and it comes out as a finished product that millions of people around the country sit there and enjoy and escape whatever's going on in their life at that point in time. That's awesome. I love that. What was the question?
What do you love to create? Okay.
Okay, that. Okay.
What's a game you love to play?
Risk.
Okay.
When I lived in Africa, at some point I was taken to a convent. Okay. My mother eventually became a Lutheran minister. They were both very religious. They had four kids. We were a handful. At some point I just got dropped off at a convent. I don't know the context of the convent. I do not know the convent context. But I had to amuse myself. And again, this is Africa, no TV in the 1977s. Ugh. And I designed a risk board, but I didn't stop with just the risk board. I had Antarctica. I had, Eurasia. I had Atlantis. Canada had every province. I had like a risk board with 600 countries on it, and also only nuns to play with. So nobody. I don't think I ever played it. But I designed it. What was the question?
What game do you love to play?
That's the answer.
All right, last question.
I like Monopoly too. But there's no thinking to Monopoly. Okay. Those who think there's strategy to Monopoly, there isn't. Once you learn the strategy, that's it. And then it's just luck.
Yeah. Okay. Last question.
Yes.
In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
A nice guy. I mean, that's maybe one of my proudest moments was, I can't even tell you the context of it, except that I could hear my daughter and she wasn't aware I was listening. And she was telling somebody about me. And she said, and he's a really, really good person. Like, he always tries to do the right thing. And I thought, well, man, the long con has really paid off with her. No, I'm serious. I try and be a good person. And that's usually what gets me into trouble. Because I do stupid things as well. I mean, we all do, not you, Silas, but everybody right. else.
Yeah.
But I try and do as much good as I can. I live my life in that, like, what's going to make it easier for the next person? I'm not, for example, one of the monsters who puts something into the microwave, stops it at 3 seconds, and walks away. You press clear or reset, and the microwave goes back to clock. So that's how I live my life.
That's good.
And if there's any monsters listening out there, it's okay. I don't like you. Go on. Next question.
That's the last question.
Oh, man, we're going to end with that. Okay.
Kevin Williams, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a pleasure to finally have you here.
The pleasure is all yours. I've had a blast. You know what? I got to say, I appreciate it. I've been wanting to come on your show for the last, what has it been, 12 years? That's the that includes the 10 days. And a half years we've been in quarantine.
12 minutes. Yeah. Black and a half. Live long, live long, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper.